Part 4. Medina. Chapter 46.
Feedings left. 14. Warning. Your feeding apparatus is running low on sustenance. Administration has been notified.
3 months. 90 days. I'd had books at least. And television. This was something Anatoly had programmed in as a mercy. More likely than not, he'd added it for his fellow clients in case they found themselves locked up. It was inconceivable a lowly consumable such as myself would ever find himself in a situation where they'd get arrested. The cell had been relatively large, about the size of my first apartment. It had an actual worm surgeon food box, which disgorged a small, fuzzy creature on demand that choked and died, and then dissolved the moment it was let out. It gave me a jolt of soul energy. I didn't need it anymore, thanks to my Bernadette upcycle, but the game allowed me a single spell, reconstitute. Everything else, from skills to programs to the rest of my spells, was blacked out. In all, the existence was much more comfortable than I could have hoped for. I'd read about people going insane after just a week of solitary confinement. I'm sure I would have too, if I hadn't received access to all that media. Anatoly, or whoever programmed in the books, had a thing for old science fiction novels. I read the entire Honor Harrington saga and all the spin-off books by David Weber. That alone took half the time. Then came the Commonwealth saga books by Peter F. Hamilton. Also caught up on several television shows. The world was going to complete shit, but most channels still played their shows like nothing was going on. One channel played the entire Simpsons run back to back. It took something like 3 weeks, though it had already started when I got in there. I found myself watching it more than was healthy. I watched that entire miniseries on the moon colonization that won all those awards. And I watched a lot of really old shows like Matlock and Gunsmoke. The news channels documented one disaster after another. A series of earthquakes had rattled up and down the Pacific Rim, throwing tsunamis in every which direction. Japan was talking about relocating their capital like Indonesia had done a few decades back. India and Pakistan were shooting at each other. A terrorist attack had leveled Notre Dame in Paris right after they finally announced it had been fully restored. Russia was shedding states and eating others. Again. I hadn't seen anything, not a thing, about Anatoly and Frank and all the others. Until a few days ago. Several stations had breaking news stories about a new development in the case. Police were in a desperate search for something, a possible victim of the Frankenstein Facebook conspiracy who was still alive. They didn't give any details on how the victim could still possibly be living after all this time, or how they knew this now. But literally thousands of law enforcement agents from the United States, Canada, and Mexico were mobilizing. Frank was dead. Paolo was dead. Smash South was dead. All of them were dead, except Anatoly. I watched in horror as a newscaster breathlessly recapped the drama from a few months back. It had all happened just after we'd first fled Bast. Every player in the conspiracy who'd been arrested was found dead in their jail cells from apparent suicides. Hamish, Frankenstein's monster, Yeltsin. Tito Hernandez, a mass killer from Tucson who made chorizo from teenage boys and served it to the family of the missing. Graham Blaine, used car magnate and a mass killer and rapist from Omaha. A woman killer from Melbourne, Australia, who exsanguinated girls and then turned their bodies into dolls. A man from New York City. Several others. All arrested. All dead in their cells. The man from Tucson and the man from Omaha were Paolo and Smash South. The woman was Princess. There was no mention of anybody arrested in Toronto. All dead, except Anatoly, whose real name was Lucas Jansen, a Dutch citizen. Anatoly was described as a low-level player who probably didn't know enough to be of use to the police, but he was currently in protective custody in a federal prison somewhere in Pennsylvania. Jansen was cooperating with the investigation. But there were no details on what, if anything, this man knew. The media knew none of the real details. I wasn't so sure the police knew either. They believed the Frankenstein conspiracy was some sort of online message forum and VR chat where sociopaths and serial killers met up and traded videos and secrets of their escapades. That was it. The sensational story had faded from the eye of the breaking news cycle because of everything else that was going on in the world. But this new development had stirred up a hornet's nest of activity. Would Clara and I be found? And what about Jenk? It had been almost 4 months since I'd last seen or heard from him, and I had no idea if he was still around. Also, if there was someone going around and killing off the clients, what did that mean for us? Nobody believed that there were really that many suicides, which indicated there was still someone out there controlling things. Whomever that was had to know where we were. The whole project had obviously gone to shit with the arrests. Clara and I were loose ends. How were we still alive? I squinted as I stepped out into the bright lights of Little Cibola. My Epiviper and pack magically returned to my shoulder the moment I stepped outside. I almost buckled at the surprise weight. I looked at my map, now taking stock of all the guardians. They all remained in their normal locations with a few exceptions. The Shrill was now hanging out near the rift with most of the others. Kanaloa, Leecher Kaiju, had been missing before. It now joined the others near the rift. The same with the Opera, the Dagon Guardian. Avanik, Clara's Panther Kaiju, had moved from the rift to the woods outside of Medina. That suggested Clara was successful in her attempts to take control of her guardian. Banksy also appeared on my map, and he remained near Avanik. So Banksy and Clara had probably found each other. I wondered for the thousandth time what Clara must be thinking. Because of the indicator over Banksy's head, she had to know I was still online. Was she looking for me? Two-headed Orthrus remained back near his regen spot, west of Medina. Mortazgus remained buried where I put him, just north of Bast. I knew from last time that Banksy couldn't see my location while I was in jail. As far as the familiar was concerned, I'd appear to be offline. Before, he couldn't send me a message at this great distance, but I didn't know if that was still the case. Not at his level. During my confinement, Banksy had risen to level 47. Because of Banksy's leveling, I had risen to level 33. I hadn't been able to allocate skills while I was incarcerated, but I pulled up my stats now. I tossed my points equally between strength and durability. I called up my familiar menu, focusing on summon to my location for Banksy. But I paused before clicking. Banksy was probably pretty big now. I looked around, examining the city of Little Cibola for the first time. If I summoned him here, I'd end up back in jail. A timer in the top right of my view continued to count down. Upon release, the stern-faced Sundered told me I had 2 hours to leave town. No shops would sell to me. I'd received a quest to investigate the Epsilon Corporation. Winning would likely open the city up. I didn't have the time. Not anymore. This town was a stark contrast to the cyberpunk vision that was Necroshire. Little Cibola was a utopian landscape. Clean streets, towering buildings made of mirrored glass. Everything was white, blue, and sterile. I did not see a single NPC who wasn't a Sundered. Shu had said they were the only ones allowed within the city limits. The androids moved through the streets all at the same time, moving like automatons, all moving with purpose. A colossal, needle-thin tower pierced the sky at the center of the large town. The words, Epsilon Holdings, glowed vertically down the glass. Looking at the sign, I realized that was part of the strangeness of Little Cibola. That sign was the only one I saw in the entire town. I looked at my map, and there were several stores spread out across the city. But none had signs on the exterior, or anything else that indicated what was inside. Weird. But I wasn't surprised. My 90 days of confinement had been a study in antiseptic predictability. My large cell had a single exit, a force field protected doorway. The guards at the prison had a patrol schedule that never, ever deviated. I was caught in a loop, if it wasn't for the television and books. I tried to say hey to a passing Sundered, only nothing came out. My voice. I hadn't used it in 3 months. Hey! The Sundered stopped and turned to look at me. This one's name was 644.E, a level 13. He didn't have an occupation.
Duke, you are not welcome here.
Yeah. How do I get out of here?
You have two options. You may rent transport through the tunnel back into Necroshire, or you may step off the edge of the city limits. The gazebo is closed to your kind.
All the Sundered, as far as I could see, had stopped in the street. They all looked directly at me. Some of them with their heads turned all the way around, like owls. I felt the skin on the back of my neck prickle. I could now pull Necroshire up on my map. It appeared as a secondary location, and I had to click a tab to pull it up. The transport gazebo remained open, but it had a red marker over it, similar to the one here in Little Cibola.
Access restricted to Epsilon corporate business only.
I wouldn't be able to use it. That meant I needed to hoof it out. I'd walk out of town, hunker down somewhere safe, and call Banksy to me. That was my only choice. Either way, I needed to get out of here as soon as possible. If I got arrested again, I would literally starve to death in my jail cell. I pulled up my map and found the closest town edge, which was north. It bordered a swampy region of the map, home to Colo Colo. I remembered Clara had said that particular kaiju was constantly giving birth to giant rat monsters. So I wouldn't get too close. It took a good 10 minutes to walk to the edge of town. Like Neo Austin, it was a line of buildings and then nothing. I had to find a tight alley and squeeze my way through. The whole time, as I walked, every Sundered turned toward me and chanted,
"You are not welcome here."
They only said it when I passed close by one, but when one said it, all the Sundered within earshot said it at the same time. Creepy. A 5-foot wall closed off the brink of the alley. I came to the wall, and only then did I realize what Shu had meant when he said they had thrown people off the edge. Little Cibola was a floating city. A thick cover of clouds surrounded the town. I could not tell how high we were, but I had the sudden sense that we were very, very high. Of course, that was why this town was intact. It was high up in the clouds, out of reach of all but the flying demons. I would have to rent passage back to Necroshire. Hopefully I'd be able to figure something out there, maybe buy a transport scroll. Maybe I could find a place to upgrade my teleport to level 4. If I could, I'd be able to just zap myself to Charnel. I'd already asked Shu, and I knew he couldn't do it. Certain high-level upgrades could only be done at certain locations. I didn't see anything on the map, but there had to be something. A pair of loss prevention officers appeared at the end of the alley. They stood, blocking my way out.
Hey guys, I still have an hour and a half to get out of the city. I decided to go to Necroshire instead.
Request denied. You have committed to this exit. If you make any further movement in this direction, you will be arrested for trespassing.
Really?
I backed up. I peered over the precipice. I pulled up my skills menu. I could use my grappling hook to dangle off the edge, but I suspected that would do me no good. I did have one possible spell. Hinder. It was the equivalent of Featherfall, but it only lasted 0.2 seconds per level of acumen. So, 6 seconds. And it used almost all of my soul power. Level 2 of the spell was much better, but it required a bionic upgrade.
If I couldn't see the ground and I cast too early, I'd go splat. I also had invulnerable. I'd learned from drinking the donkey milk that it didn't blunt pain. It didn't stop me from getting injured. It just kept me from dying. Dropping from this height while I was invulnerable might work. Or it might not. I'd have to be in one piece in order to heal myself before the spell wore off. I suddenly regretted my commitment to a tank build. It seemed I needed the acumen more than anything. I knew I would have been dead 100 times over in multiple situations if I hadn't worked on my durability. My acumen was 30, thanks to my amulet and armor and some of the Bernadette upgrades, making it my highest stat along with strength. But I could really use another 10 or more points in it right about now. I'd probably see the ground before I crashed. I'd pull through the lower level of clouds and be able to gauge the best time to slow my descent. Probably. I spent 5 skill points on Hinder. I scrambled up to the top of the wall, turned toward the sentries, and saluted. They stared at me impassively. I loaded up the spell screen, and I stepped backward off the edge of Little Cibola. The Guardian came into view the moment the city tore away. Oh, of course. Before I knew what I was doing, I shot my grappling hook, grasping onto the mechanical edge of the giant robot that bore the town of Little Cibola on its back.